You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, November the 15th, and the effort to recall Governor Scott Walker kicked off at midnight, and people started signing petitions to force a recall of Governor Walker. They need to collect in excess of a half million signatures to force a recall election, and they have 60 days to do so. We will talk with Ed Garvey about the effort in this half of the program, and we will talk with a guest who has a different point of view in our next half hour after 7:30. And we want to hear from you, too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So do you have recall fever or recall fatigue? Will you be signing a petition or not? Why or why not? We would love to hear from you. Ed Garvey joins us in the studio, senior partner at the law firm of Garvey McNeil and Associates and publisher of FightingBob.com. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Joy. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
So do you think Wisconsin has recall fever or recall fatigue?
Oh, I think they're so upset with Scott Walker that there's no such thing as fatigue at this point. They're all in now, and they've got to get over 10,000 signatures per day during this very limited period of time, 60 days, to get a half a million signatures. So this is no time for being tired.
Yeah. Do you think...
get those power drinks somehow.
Do you think that's doable? We got the holidays coming up. We're going to have some snowstorms, I'm sure, in the next 60 days.
No snow. We've arranged. We've had a deal.
Yeah, but that's a lot. To get about 600,000 signatures to make sure you have more than the required amount, that's, as you mentioned, 10,000.
It's a tremendous number. It's quite a challenge. In Ohio, they had more time. They had a specific piece of legislation they were going after, and it took them a long time to get a million and a half signatures, but they got them. I think Wisconsin was encouraged, Wisconsin Democrats certainly were encouraged by what happened in Ohio, the votes in other states as well. No matter what happens, the redistricting plan that Walker put on the table is still there. And the photo ID and the voter suppression that we think the Republicans are engaged in is still very much there. Those are issues that are so important that you don't have the right to be tired. I mean, this is the time to get out there and knock on doors.
Yeah, well, you...
Totally neutral.
Yeah. Scott Walker aired last night the first in a series of ads of Monday Night Football game. He... put an ad out that said, you know, don't recall.
Yeah, I thought he was going to admit that he was the advisor to the Minnesota Vikings defense coach. $300,000 in TV spots from Monday night until next Sunday is a lot of money, and it gives you some idea that they're taking this very seriously. Walker, who is the darling of the Koch brothers, of course, will get as much money as he really wants to have. They're going to flood the state with money, and for that reason, people really have to be engaged and offset the money with shoe leather.
Well, supporters of Governor Walker would say that out-of-state union folks are going to come here to Wisconsin to use their shoe leather.
Well, you can't get that many people in here from out of state. If you could, we would do it. But the fact is that this is a homegrown revolt. No one knew what Walker was going to do. He didn't announce as a candidate, if I'm elected, I'm going to destroy all the public unions. I'm going to, take away collective bargaining. I'm going to put a redistricting plan on the table that is so bad that even Republicans are sort of wincing when they take a look at it. I'm going to have a photo ID program that will keep many seniors and minorities from voting. So we don't need help from out of state.
Yeah, well, those calls that we received in our last hour that said they would not be signing a petition, many of them said Governor Walker is doing what he said he was going to do, and what he's doing is working.
Let's look at the job question here for a minute. We tried to keep track at FightingBob.com for a while, But it's pretty difficult because even the Journal Sentinel, which is leans toward the Walker administration, could not figure out what the job situation really is. But it looks like there's a net loss of jobs since he's become governor. He promised 250,000 new jobs if that would be created, family supporting jobs, permanent jobs. He's so far away from that that there's no chance that he can make that. But that's just one of the many things that is still there. And, I would think that given the reaction to redistricting, for example, that this would have been an opportunity for him, if he cared about any kind of bipartisanship at all, to say, well, let's start over. Let's sit down, talk it through. But this redistricting map is awful. And, people are going to have to live with that for the next 10 years.
Yeah. His supporters, though, will point to this $3 billion deficit that had to be taken care of, and that's been taken care of, Ed.
Well, what Walker says is that every tax break for business is fine. We want to make sure that those who pay increased taxes will be at the local level. And they've cut teachers' salaries, and they've cut teachers, or not salaries, but they've cut the number of jobs that are available to teachers and other public employees. And he's demonized the public employee. It's almost as if there's something wrong with you if you go into public service. I grew up believing that was the highest calling, was either to be a teacher or to work for government. That certainly is not the case with Scott Walker.
I guess I should disclose, as I always do, or always try to do during discussions like this, I am a public employee. I'm an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension. And I am talking with Ed Garvey, senior partner at the law firm of Garvey, McNeil & Associates, publisher of FightingBob.com. And he wrote a piece that was in the Cap Times yesterday on the recall effort of Governor Scott Walker. The effort kicked off at midnight, and Ed, the title of the piece, it's imperative to get recall signatures. And why do you say it's imperative, Ed?
When you take a look at what's happened around the Midwest, the Koch brothers, these billionaires, have decided that they were going to take over state governments. I think the most telling moment in the entire time that Scott Walker has been governor is when he thought he was talking to David Koch on the phone, saying, well, yes, David, we have thought about putting troublemakers into the crowd to raise problems and so on and so forth. For the governor of the state of Wisconsin to be talking about that kind of illegal activity is pretty telling. But the Koch brothers wanted to have John Kasich of Ohio and Snyder in Michigan and Walker in Wisconsin in Indiana, all working together to form this sort of nucleus of governors who are going to try to change the way we do business in the state of Wisconsin, as well as Ohio and Indiana and Michigan. There's a real threat when you think about the Koch brothers.
And we welcome your input, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Taking a quick check of the weather, it's going to be cloudy today, a chance of rain and snow showers in northern Wisconsin. Highs will be in the mid-40s in the north to the upper 50s in the south. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, coming up on 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, November the 15th. We are talking about the effort to recall Governor Scott Walker during this hour. We'll talk about it tomorrow as well, as tomorrow we will release the results of our scientific survey, the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll results on the Walker recall effort will be released tomorrow between 7 and 8. We will find out if the people of the state of Wisconsin want him recalled or not, at least at this point. So, and now we will take your calls. Kim in Oshkosh is with us first. Hello, Kim.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to call and say that I have recall fever. We in Oshkosh have had it for quite some time because we had to recall Randy Hopper. I just went in and signed, and I picked up my own petition to start circulating. And I do want to say one more thing is, everybody thinks it's just the Democrats who want to sign these papers. I'm married to a very conservative man, and his whole family can't wait to sign.
What are they mad about, Kim?
They come from a long line of people who hunt and fish, and they're really upset about some legislation in regards to, well, first they're upset about his appointment of Kathy Stepp to the head of the DNR, a builder who's going to take care of our environment. They're not really happy about that. So their big beef is the environment. Mine is the voter ID law. You know, he says he's saving the school districts all this money. In Oshkosh next year, we're facing a $6 million deficit bill.
Yeah. Ed, a reaction?
Well, my mother was from Oshkosh, so I'm happy that Oshkosh is doing well. It's always a more conservative community than it should be, given the makeup. But I think what this caller just said is what I have found in going around the state. There's an enthusiasm that I've never seen before. I spoke to the Rock County Progressive Group the other night, about 75 to 100 people, and they're just totally into this issue because they're so upset with the way Walker has disregarded public opinion, favored the wealthy, you know, burdened the middle class, that I think we're going to see an outpouring that will be historic.
Yeah. What do you think about polls that have been out recently that show pretty much an even split, 50-50, between those who think he should be recalled and should not?
Well, we certainly should look at who's doing the polling. You know, this Wisconsin Policy Research Institute puts out these polls. WPRI is a front of the Bradley Foundation. They worked first with the University of Wisconsin Political Science Department in Madison with some open records requests and so on. They finally decided to drop that. But they keep issuing these poll results, and who knows who's asking the questions and who's doing the spinning. The one that Wisconsin Public Radio uses is certainly going to be a better indication of how people feel. But I think that the activists who are going to be out there and who were around the Capitol in February and March are certainly going to be in the forefront of the effort to get people to sign.
Annette on Facebook writes, I believe Governor Walker has done his best with what we have. Sorry, teachers, I totally respect you and wish it didn't have to go the way it did. But Governor Doyle kept his job even though it wasn't good for everyone in Wisconsin. I'm very disappointed in the Democratic senators who left the state when they needed to be in their office. All this would not be happening had they stayed at the Capitol and did their jobs. Well, I don't know about that, Ed.
I don't know. Certainly not, because they came back and ultimately the budget adjustment was passed. But we call them the Fabulous 14 because they did have the courage to get out of the state and stop the train long enough to at least marshal the arguments and to gather the forces together that would say somehow or other there should have been some alterations in that budget process. I think the confrontation that Walker has caused in every respect of state government, turning back all the great traditions of the state, civil service, for example, he's converting jobs that were civil service, turning them into political jobs so that he can reward his friends. You know, this is a guy who had such a bad record in terms of county executive in Milwaukee that he talked about how to file bankruptcy for Milwaukee County as county executive. And so here he is now as governor. I guess he could do the same thing for us.
We've had some listeners suggest, hey, I didn't agree with what Governor Doyle did during his administration, but I didn't cry to recall him. The election is in 2014. If you don't like what Scott Walker is doing, kick him out then.
Normally, I would agree with that. It just shows you how extreme the Walker agenda has been, that it motivates people to say, wait a second, we can't wait because the redistricting plan has to be changed. We can't let our public schools fall apart, as you now have the Milwaukee Manufacturers and Commerce working with the governor to privatize the Milwaukee school system as much as possible. We can't wait for that. We can't wait to say that people have to have the right to vote. I mean, Wisconsin has always been number one or number two in the nation in terms of voter turnout. We had same-day registration before it was popular. Now it's been taken away, and it's going to cost us 2 to 5% of the vote come next November. Yeah. So these are radical changes that Walker has put in that are so radical that it has motivated people to say, we have to do something that only two other states have ever done, and that is to recall the governor.
Laverne in Monroe is next. Hello, Laverne.
Hello, Joy.
Did you sign your petition yet, Laverne?
I'm going to more than sign it. I'm going to circulate, too.
Oh, really?
And,
okay.
And I'm an independent voter, and I think half the voters are probably independent. What I don't like about Governor Walker is when he took the sales and income taxes off of the table and then said it's bargaining in good faith. I almost choked on that one. And I said, the recall election, what's the difference between that and Canada when you have a vote of confidence? I have no confidence in Governor Walker. This guy is out for the wealthiest 1%, the Koch brothers. The 99% of us, I can see why people are picketing Wall Street. And, Ed, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
So, Ed, should the signatures be collected, the 540,000 sum, and a recall election is forced? Who's gonna run against Scott Walker?
Oh, there are plenty of people who have the talent and the support, and I think if they decide, we've got some time to think about that, but Dave Obey has been one of the people. Kathleen Falk is interested, John Erpenbach, Stan Grudzinski has been mentioned, Barbara Lawton. Mm-hmm. There are lots of good people who are potential candidates, depending on what happens with Walker. So I don't think it's going to be a huge improvement, no matter which one of the Democrats is elected.
And I've actually heard fans of yours suggest your name. What do you? You're not interested in that.
They should call Betty Garvey.
Daniel in Rice Lake. Hello, Daniel.
Hello. This recall attempt will result in Walker's invitation to the major network news talk shows. It's big news. In a time when the Republican Party lacks viable leadership, will Walker, win or lose, be catapulted into national GOP celebrity and leadership?
You think so, Ed?
I think so. I mean, they see him as a potential leader. They think Paul Ryan is a potential leader. Here's a guy who's still reading Ayn Rand, presenting the Republican program on how to get rid of the safety net. But they think about Paul Ryan. They think about Scott Walker. The Koch brothers obviously like him, and if the Koch brothers like you, you don't have to worry about money. You're going to get plenty of it. If they don't like you, you're going to see a lot of money coming in against you.
An email from a listener who says, what is the platform for Mr. Candidate if Walker is recalled? So a Democrat, maybe Ms., a Democratic a challenger. I do not want to sign a recall if I do not know what's coming. What is the Democratic challenger going to do?
Well, I would think you'd start, and I'm not here to give a platform for a Democrat who would be running for this office, but you'd start by getting rid of the voter suppression efforts of this governor. We would get back to the idea of same-day registration. We would be welcoming people at the polls, giving them rides to the polls, and doing whatever we could. We'd start with a new redistricting plan so that we could have a plan that's fair and the race is competitive. I think what perhaps some of the listeners don't understand is that the Republican effort here was to make all of these districts safe districts, so that whether safe for a Democrat or safe for a Republican, they want to make sure that there's no real competition between the two parties. And that's wrong. Iowa has the system down pat where you have an independent body that comes up with a plan for having close races rather than, one-sided races. I think a Democrat would say, let's have a new system in place that we've had for 100 years before this. No one has ever tried to tamper with the system the way Scott Fitzgerald and Scott Walker has done. I think they'd be focused much more on real permanent jobs instead of just talking about 250,000 jobs, which is just absurd given the record that Walker has so far.
Yeah. Will the new candidate promise to restore collective bargaining and higher benefit packages? Any idea, Ed?
Well, they can't guarantee higher benefit packages, but they can guarantee the right to bargain, and that's what I think is so shocking to most people. If you don't have a union in Wisconsin, you might as well be in Mississippi. You really don't have any rights when it comes to your termination or your negotiating rights with the employer. The public employee unions have had that opportunity. They've never abused it, and it's time for people to understand that if they're going to have any improvements in class size and teacher salaries and other benefits, they have to do it through collective bargaining. And Walker is going to introduce right to work to make sure that Wisconsin is a state that also tries to kill the private sector unions. He's killing the public sector unions now. Next week will be private sector.
Paul in La Crosse. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Yeah. We've had a lot of elections in La Crosse in the last few months. Every time I show my driver's license to vote, I hate it. And I have no trouble remembering at that time who to vote against. And when everybody in Wisconsin has to go through the same ritual of proving who you are to vote, they'll understand, and they'll vote against Walker.
I couldn't agree more. I think in most respects, when I talk to groups around the state of Wisconsin, the thing they resent most is this effort to keep people from the polls. I mean, it's just so against the tradition of the state of Wisconsin. If you look back at the La Follettes and what they brought to the state, get corporations out of politics, get people involved in politics, let the parties get out of the way, let the people nominate candidates, and for heaven's sakes, this make-believe nonsense of the fraud that required them to come up with these new voter restrictions should be exposed for exactly what it is, a fraud.
And Mary in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'd like to see someone introduce a bill so that if someone is recalled during their first term, that person no longer receive any benefit whatsoever from the state of Wisconsin. No retirement benefits, health benefits, anything of that nature. Wisconsin simply can't afford it.
Well, a thought on that, Ed?
Well, I go along with that. I have no problem with that. I think they should give unsuccessful candidates something.
do you anticipate any, I don't know, hanky-panky, Ed? Some Democrats are crying foul because some posters on a social media site were saying they were going to circulate petitions in this recall effort, and then they were going to throw them away.
Well, they're certainly capable of it. I'm not, it'd be ridiculous to charge them in advance that that's what they're going to do, but I think people have to be on guard. The reason they're training these canvassers is to make sure that they aren't having some phony ones out there, getting people signed up, and then they just trash the petitions. I mean, there's nothing that would force you to turn in the petition once you get it signed. So the training sessions are important so they can explain to the voter, look, if you sign this, make sure that the person who's handing this to you is truly a part of the anti-Walker effort.
Only 30 seconds to go. Come January 17th, 60 days from now, you say?
Big party.
You think it's going to be successful?
I do. I think it's going to be successful. It's going to be close, but we're going to do it.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.
Ed Garvey is senior partner at the law firm of Garvey McNeil & Associates, publisher of FightingBob.com. He wrote a piece that is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and on our website at WPR.org about the effort to recall Governor Scott Walker. We'll get a different viewpoint coming up after we check the latest news from Wisconsin Public Radio and National Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will continue to talk about recall fever or recall fatigue, depending on your perspective. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Tuesday, November the 15th. The petition drive to recall Governor Scott Walker is underway. Organizers held parties around the state last night and started collecting signatures on those petitions to force a recall election at the stroke of midnight or the stroke after midnight. Many more events are planned for today, including one at Governor Walker's home in Wauwatosa. So will you be signing a petition? Why or why not? What do you think of the recall effort? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We heard from Ed Garvey in our last half hour. Ed Garvey will be signing a petition. Now we will hear from a supporter of Governor Walker's who is not going to be signing a petition. Matt Batesel is with American Majority Action, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Why are you opposed to this effort to recall Governor Walker?
Well, I'm opposed to this effort to recall Governor Walker because Governor Walker's reforms are working. He campaigned as a conservative throughout last year, and once he got into office in the governor's office, he brought conservative ideas forward and proposed policy ideas, including the budget repair bill, but a host of number of other issues as well that really sought to address the $3.6 billion deficit that our state was in. Look, our state has had governors and legislatures in the past that just do these one-time accounting gimmicks and other things to basically move the ball forward so they can balance their budgets. Governor Walker saw that as a problem, and he said he needed to do something about that, proposed a budget repair bill that would address that at a fundamental level to help you know, local governments and the state government get back on track and actually have fiscal responsibility.
Yeah. What about those who say the governor certainly said he was going to have to deal with this this deficit, but never said that he was going to strip public employees of collective bargaining rights during the campaign?
Yeah, I mean, during the campaign, I mean, he alluded to the fact that, you know, he needed to address different things. And I think in reality, when he got in there, he saw how bad it was. And you look at the numbers. I mean, there's only so many things that you can cut from state government. You look at the budget. I mean, the public sector, you know, and wages and benefits is a huge budget item. And so that was one area where, you know, having been in the private sector back in 2008 and 2009, you know, wages were being frozen, benefits were being cut, people getting laid off. But the public sector never really faced that until this spring. And so, you know, I think Governor Walker saw that, saw the disparity between the private sector and the public sector, and realized that was an opportunity to, you know, cut some savings, but then also not just, you know, cut savings at the state level, pass it on to the local levels as well so that they could deal with their budget issues as well.
Mm-hmm. And there are those who support the recall that say that what Governor Walker is doing is following a secret agenda that other Republican governors in other states are also following, that is being directed by the Koch brothers, and is, you know, an extreme right-wing agenda that the people of Wisconsin were not expecting.
Well, I mean, I think you look to other states, and even look to Indiana, where Mitch Daniels in New Jersey with Governor Chris Christie, you know, they've dealt with these issues in the past. This isn't a secret as a conservative reform to deal with budget deficits at the state level. It's been done in other states, and particularly even Mitch Daniels. You know, he dealt with collective bargaining privileges early on in his term, and then got reelected with the highest vote margin in recent decades for a gubernatorial candidate. So, I mean, once these reforms take hold and are working, I think states and taxpayers realize that this is something that's going to help their state move forward, and so they support that, and that's why they supported Mitch Daniels. And, you know, Governor Walker in some ways copied his legislation, or at least looked to Indiana as a model. It wasn't a secret how he did that, and it was out there from other states' perspective. So he looked to that, and I think other governors looking to that as well. You know, but even beyond Republican governors, you're seeing Democratic governors from Washington, New York, and other places having to deal with these, you know, lavish pensions and other state employee benefits that, you know, frankly are a big burden on the taxpayer and have to be addressed at the state level when they're looking at these huge deficits. So, you know, what Governor Walker did is similar to what other Democratic governors are doing across the state and cutting back, you know, benefits for public sector employees.
Yeah. Recall supporters are emboldened by, are encouraged by what happened in Ohio a week or so ago, when Ohio voters repealed a law that would have stripped collective bargaining rights from public employees. Are you concerned that the tide is turning on that issue in Wisconsin?
No, you know, I look at Ohio and it's a completely different issue than what we're facing. Certainly the similarity would be the collective bargaining privileges that were at issue, but it was a piece of legislation, you know, they had a referendum, a different process completely than the recalls that we have here. But you also had a much more unpopular governor, John Kasich in Ohio, I think was pulling approval ratings in the mid-30s, whereas Governor Walker is about 10 points higher on average in the mid-40s here. But also, I mean, Governor Walker will be campaigning himself as opposed to a piece of legislation, which is harder to stand up for and just because it's a standalone bill. But there's other differences as well. The left, the liberal groups there were able to raise by a 3-to-1 margin, more money than the conservative groups that were trying to stand up for the collective bargaining privileges there. They won't be able to do that here in Wisconsin. They're not going to be able to outspend Governor Walker by a 3-to-1 margin. Governor Walker, you know, when the recall petitions are being circulated, has the opportunity to raise unlimited amounts, no contribution limits, and so he'll have up to 73 days where he has that contribution limit waived, essentially. So he's going to be able to amass a massive war chest of money that he'll be able to use for the campaign. So there's a lot of differences between what happened in Ohio and where Governor Walker is positioned here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Governor Walker aired his first ad last night during Monday Night Football, and apparently is going to be that was the first of a launch of a series of TV ads in the coming weeks, and we'll be seeing apparently real people talking about how Governor Walker's initiatives are working in their communities. So the governor is taking this this recall effort seriously if he's doing that.
Yeah, and I think it is. You're right. It's a sign of Governor Walker defending his policies. You know, one of the things you know that a lot of conservatives complained about is that maybe the governor hadn't articulated a strong enough defense for some of his reforms as he put them forward. I mean, Governor Walker's been focused on governing, and I think you know we're seeing a different side of Governor Walker now that's explaining and you know providing some sound arguments for why his reforms are working. You know, whenever he has information, it seems like every week there's a new local government coming forward that's cutting taxes, property taxes, which, you know, as of note, in December, we're going to have all our property tax bills being sent out. And across the state, people are going to realize, hey, Governor Walker's reforms are working. It's going to be, you know, the proof will be in the pudding when they get their property tax bills. So, you know, I think as time goes on, more and more people will realize that these reforms have worked and they want to move forward as opposed to going back to the tax and spending of Governor Doyle and Democratic regime from last time.
We are talking with Matt Baitzel. He is with American Majority Action. He is a supporter of Governor Walker and Governor Walker's policies and is talking with us about why he believes Governor Walker does not deserve to be recalled. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your views. Are you going to be signing a petition to recall Governor Walker or not? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be a cloudy day today with a chance of rain and snow showers in northern Wisconsin. Highs today, mid-40s in the north to the upper 50s in the south. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's On Your Money. Certified financial planner Kevin McKinley will be in with answers to your personal finance questions coming up during On Your Money after 8. Right now, we're talking about the recall effort, which kicked off last night or very early this morning, the attempt to recall Governor Scott Walker. Organizers need to gather well in excess of a half million signatures, 540,000 some signatures required. They say they will try to collect in excess of that 600,000 to 700,000 signatures in the next 60 days. And if they do so, they will have forced an unprecedented recall election of a sitting Wisconsin governor. They have until January the 17th to get this done. And we heard from a guest who supports the recall in our first half of this hour. Now we are hearing from a guest who does not support the recall, Matt Baitzel, who is with American Majority Action. And our first caller is Dave in Eau Claire. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. I support Governor Walker because our state was well on path to becoming like Illinois, and even worse, like Greece. In Greece, one of the austerity measures they're considering and will probably implement is getting rid of a collective bargaining. And if we look to our neighbor to the south, they've increased income taxes 66% and corporate taxes 45%. That's the way Democrats would deal with this budget shortfall. And right now, stellar companies like Sears and Motorola are considering leaving Illinois because Illinois can't even pay their bills. They have $5 billion in unpaid debt. They have a pension, so all you state workers who are worried about your pension, it's funded at about 38 cents on the dollar in Illinois, and that's what you'd be facing if Governor Walker's taken out. This was just a nullification of my vote, and I think that those who are signing these petitions need to know, too, that it's public record. Your neighbors, friends, family, even customers, business relations, everyone's going to know you signed this, and it was a vote to you signed to nullify the voice of the people.
Yeah. What do you say to that, Matt Baitzel?
Well, Dave, you brought up a lot of good points. You know, you look to Illinois and it had the culture of raising taxes. We've seen that in Wisconsin and it's failed. You know, Governor Doyle raised income taxes and corporate taxes when he was governor, and we still had a deficit of $3.6 billion when Governor Walker took over. So, you know, those are failed policies. Obviously, Greece is facing similar things. When you keep spending and spending and spending, you know, you have to raise taxes unless you're able to cut spending. And so, you know, I think Governor Walker obviously did the right thing in addressing the spending problem that we have in this state and looking at some of the benefits that needed to be trimmed to match what's happening in the private sector. So, yeah, I think Dave made a lot of good points, and Governor Walker's doing the right thing.
Thanks, Dave, for the call. Matt, is it fair to blame Governor Doyle's policies for that deficit? Wasn't it the Great Recession?
Well, I think that played a part of it. But, I mean, we look back, you can go even further back when across the state and across the country, when, there are tough times, when you raise taxes, it doesn't create more revenue. What creates more revenue is when you cut taxes and business owners are able to go out and create jobs. You have a larger tax base even. That's a big thing, too. I mean, if people are out at work, they're not going to be paying taxes because they're not getting wages. You need to cut, you need to have a culture in a state and in a country where people go out and create jobs, people will be able to have jobs and hold on to those jobs, and then they'll be paying taxes and the revenue base increases. So we can look to a number of examples of how that's happened. I think certainly Governor Doyle's raising taxes failed and did result in the deficits. Raiding the transportation fund and a doctor's fund as well. Those types of things do not help for getting a state to be fiscally responsible.
Yeah. And what do you say to those who say that Governor Walker, while he did have to deal with this humongous deficit, ended up balancing the budget on the backs of the middle class and the working class? He raised taxes on them by eliminating some tax credits while giving tax credits and tax breaks to corporations and businesses.
Well, I think one particular capital gains tax break that he put in, you can look at the numbers on that, and it's actually working class families largely that are the ones who benefit from that. The most recent data from the Internal Revenue Service is from 2008. And you look at that, and there's actually 3.3 million taxpayers who filed tax returns that year who reported some form of capital gains investment income. And 3.1 million of those are people who made less than $200,000. So 94% of the people who report capital gains investment income were basically, let's say, middle class to lower class. And even, I think, about 65% of them made less than $100,000 a year. So this really is middle class, specifically capital gains breaks that, basically incentivizing reinvestment in Wisconsin is what that tax measure did back when it was passed, I think, in March. But, you look at some of these things, you break them down, and it actually is benefiting middle-class America.
Matthew in Wapaka is with us now. Hello, Matthew.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Boy, a lot of revisionist history going on in this conversation and off-topic stuff. I plan to sign a recall petition. In fact, I'm going to distribute recall petitions and get signatures. As a political scientist, I'm not a fan of recalls, to be honest, and it's a bloody mess. But this was not brought on by the voters. This was not brought on by the public sector, teachers, police. This was brought on by a governor and the majority party with purposeful design and, frankly, not with the interests of Badgers in mind, from a lot of out-of-state interests and ideas. And frankly, if I were Republicans, independents, or Democrats, I'd be signing this recall petition if for only one reason. We've got to get out of this political nightmare. We've got to get the state healed. We've got to move forward on job creation and solving the state's economic and other issues. The only way we're going to do that is for Walker and that ideological group to leave the Capitol so we can start healing this state.
Yeah.
This political civil war was started by the majority party and a governor. It will only end when the plebiscite says we're tired of this. We can't have politics 24/7, 365 days of the year. We need a break. The state needs a break. But until Walker leaves the office, willingly or down the road, we're not going to heal as a state.
Matthew, thank you very much. And I'm sorry you think that we're off topic. I don't. But what do you say to that, Matt?
Well, I think some of the points that Matthew's bringing up about Wisconsin being a political nightmare and 24/7 politicking, I guess, as he is referring to, actually cuts the other direction, I believe. I think if you support a recall, sign a recall petition, and then you recall Governor Walker, you're basically setting a precedent for whenever there's a future governor of whatever party, that a year after they're into office, if some group of people who are fired up don't like their policy, regardless of whether there's any malfeasance, which we don't have in this case, if they just don't simply like a policy that the governor puts forward, they're going to recall him. And you're going to have constant campaign mode time and time again. Let's just say they recall Governor Walker, and let's say, you know, someone like Kathleen Falk becomes governor. Well, if she raises taxes, are conservatives then going to recall her a year later? I mean, you're setting up this political nightmare to continue on if you support a recall of Governor Walker.
What about specifically the point that our caller was making, though, that Governor Walker divided this state?
Well, we've had division in America and in different states, you know, going back time again. I think it's part of it's the two-party system that we have, and as you know, that our founders set up. I mean, they understood that there are going to be two major parties that are going to go back and forth at times and have different control and disagree over things. I mean, Governor Walker, again, I mean, you go back to where we were at. We had private sector contributing lots of money to pensions or 401ks. They don't have pensions, health insurance. But the public sector wasn't doing that. And so when you look at a $3.6 billion deficit, as Governor Walker did, you have to make some cuts to the public sector benefits, as he did. So, I mean, you go back to looking where we are at, and it's the logical decision that he made. Granted, a lot of people have to pay more, but the private sector has been doing that for a longer period of time, and the public sector simply had to kind of match and finally catch up a few years late, I might add, to what the private sector was doing.
Yeah, and you know, of course, that the public sector says it offered to contribute more to benefits, but the governor stripped them of their say in the workplace, their collective bargaining rights.
Yeah, and that, you know, that brings up another good point, too, is, you know, for many, many, many years, local government unions have been able to control local governments and their budgets by being able to collectively bargain. This is something where unions control the school board members, the city council members, aldermen, you know, county executives, county board members. And so it's very hard for taxpayers to actually have a say in the process. They basically have to show up in mass to be able to stop property tax increases in the past. But what the budget repair bill did was able to get, you know, gave those local government officials a little bit more leverage. So the union couldn't just leverage against them and have, you know, all the people from that they represented come up to the meetings. The taxpayers basically were finally put back into having a way to negotiate and cut costs at the local level instead of having their hands tied by the unions.
Jerry in Genesee Depot is with us. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. I worry about the future of Wisconsin, about business coming here. If we don't get some businesses here to employ people, it's not going to matter whatever else happens to everyone else. A lot of our businesses have gone to Kansas especially, some to Pennsylvania. I guess they're right-to-work states, and they aren't coming. When I heard the name Koch Brothers, until I saw it spelled, I thought, who are they? K-O-C-H. That's as German as it comes. I thought, no wonder those guys are making money. In Europe, Germany is running things and getting along very well.
Can I get you back to the recall issue,
sure.
Jerry?
I think that they're going to be so disruptive that I wouldn't want to come here. The woman who is the richest one in Wisconsin says she would not start a business here if she weren't living here. That was last December from Beloit.
So the recall will be bad for business. What do you say, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, we saw about 30,000 jobs that have been created in the state of Wisconsin toward Governor Walker's goal of creating, you know, a number of jobs in the state. But a lot of the reason I think we haven't seen higher numbers is, well, A, you have President Obama and the federal government basically being bogged down and not creating an environment where it's even predictable. Having worked with business owners in the past, I mean, they need to have a predictable environment if they're going to move forward and create jobs and hire more people. So that's weighing over everything here. But then also, you know, Governor Walker has certainly taken measures to do that by, you know, some of the measures he brought forth back in his just first job session. And so, you know, that's been good. But I think business owners from other states look at Wisconsin and they say, well, what if Walker is recalled? I'm not going to move there. And so I think, you know, unintentionally, perhaps the middle class people here who have fought against Governor Walker, whatever class they might be in, you know, are actually keeping businesses away by trying to recall Governor Walker.
Yeah, we have just 30 seconds to go. Ed Garvey, our first guest, said that this, at least the petition signing effort, is going to be successful. What's your prediction?
I think they have a tough road ahead of them to get 1.1 million signatures to recall both Governor Walker and Rebecca Clayfish. I think it's certainly possible for them to do that if they spend the money it's going to take. I think to knock Governor Walker off, it's going to cost them $50 million. And so that's a lot of money to raise, but certainly is possible if they spend enough money and raise enough money, they have a shot of doing it.
Well, we'll be in touch. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks.
Matt Batesel is with the American Majority Action. Thanks to Rob Ferret and to Bill Martins for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.